in conjunction with the good people at the Nerdwatch, the Hawaii Film Critics Society has come together to give you our straight out of the movie theater impressions of James Gunn's Superman. Now, I know it's Saturday. Some of you already seen it, but I don't know if we're going to spoil or anything. We'll see where it takes us. But of course, I am G Money, aka Greg. I am one of the critics of the Hawaii Film Critics Society, and I'm joined by the founder and the professor of all things cinema, Mr. Barry Wurst. Barry, how are you doing this evening? And thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you, G. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Glad we got to do this, because I remember years ago, you had me at the premiere of Man of Steel.
Yes.
It's cool that we get to do this again. Once again, we're watching the guy in the cape come back.
We're watching the guy in the cape come back. So let's go over this a little bit. By the way, let me set up the ambiance first for those of that are listening. We are outside in the courtyard of where the movie theater structure here is in Maui Mall on the beautiful island of Maui. So if you hear any background noise, there's a lot of activity going on here and there, but I think our mic should be okay because I think it sounds great. But just so if there's any background noise that you guys hear. But Barry, your impressions, let's get right to it. Your impressions of James Gunn's rendition of the iconic character that is Superman.
Busy. That's the word I would start with. It's really busy. I felt the same way I did with the beginning of the recent Mission Impossible, where the beginning, it's absorbing so much information. Plot A, plot B, plot C, so many subplots, so many side characters. I'm trying to keep track of everything. I think the heart is there. The heart being Lois Lane and Clark Kent. I feel like that's the heart of most of the Superman films. There's a lot going on in this movie right off the bat. And some of it's really engaging and some of it feels like, okay, this is something that's going to come up later. I still don't know what Frank Grillo was doing in this movie. I still haven't figured it out. There's a few things going on in this movie. But nevertheless, I think once it finally quiets down and focuses on character, it really had me. I think the heart of the movie is there. I like this movie a lot. I'm really overwhelmed by it. And some of that's good and some of it I just feel like maybe some of this stuff could have been saved for the sequel. I'm curious if James Gunn was the only one who wrote it, because it feels like a movie that was written by six people. Do you know?
It looks like there was two people that wrote it.
Just two people.
James Gunn being one of them. When you say you're overwhelmed, when you say that, what exactly do you mean? Do you mean overwhelming as in what you visually, what you were taking in, or do you mean overwhelmed by the story? What do you?
Both. The action scenes I thought were quite frantic, which is fine because it's Superman and everybody's moving at super speed. But there's so many characters literally flying in and out of the frame. There's so many things going on, so much cross-cutting. I found the action scenes to be quite exhausting just because I was trying to get a sense of everything. I think I'm also spoiled by years of John Wick, where the choreography and the editing and the momentum are so clear-cut. Mm. You get a sense of being there. In this case, I mean, it's literally whiplash from the action moving from scene to scene. It's not, you know, in fact, I think Gunn can be such a clean storyteller, even with Guardians of the Galaxy, when he has an ensemble cast. But in this case, there are a lot of characters who kind of come in and out of focus, and they're all interesting, but I do feel like they were kind of crowding the frame. So I wasn't always engaged with whoever was, you know, currently the focus.
Right. So what you're saying is that it seemed like, are you saying like the characters felt underdeveloped maybe a little bit? Would that be
some of it, or just that they're sort of fighting for the spotlight
screen
at times.
Time? Yeah. I can see that. Do you think Gunn's pick of David Corenswet as Superman was a good one?
I do. I think it's superb. He reminded me the most of Brendan Fraser at times.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I didn't think about that
in a complimentary way.
No, I know you do.
Yeah, because I love Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
I feel like he has that kind of ability. He has sort of that lunkheaded quality, but he's also clearly a thinker, a really strong physical presence, nails the comedy, but also gets into the pathos of the character. I love what he did. I really do.
Interesting.
It's been a long time since I've liked an actor playing this character.
Do you think the playing his opposite is Rachel Brosnahan.
Yes.
Do you feel that she's a good fit as Lois Lane?
I thought she was superb. Yeah, I love that performance.
Interesting. I'll give you that. She did. She was a good. She was a good second to David Corenswet's Clark Kent or Superman, as it were, because there's a lot more Superman than there is Clark Kent in this movie.
Yes, definitely.
So that was also something that I wasn't expecting. I thought I'd get a little more Clark, but now I understand, like, you get Clark for, like, maybe the first 10 minutes.
Tops.
Or, you know, 10 minutes in that movie, and that's it.
He barely wears those glasses.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So that was interesting. But let's just stick to performances. Nicholas Holt is Lex Luthor. What are your thoughts?
Pretty good. I like what he did. It seemed like he was pulling, that felt contemporary. It did feel like he was pulling from recent tech billionaires. Take your pick of who that could be a stand-in for. Mm-hmm. I like what he did. I think there have been actors who've been a little more distinct with it, but I thought he made really good choices. And he was loathsome, truly.
Yeah, I Nicholas Holt, it's hard to, how can I put this? I hope this is a compliment. It's hard to dislike any of the characters that he plays because Nicholas Holt is such a good actor.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I do think, and well, let's get your thoughts on this. And then when we're looking at the quote unquote Justice Gang, Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern, Guy Gardner, mm-hmm. Isabella Merced as Hawkgirl, and I am not even going to try and pronounce this guy's name. I think, is it Eli?
I don't know the actor.
It's edgy.
But he's great.
But Mr. Terrific,
he steals a lot of the movie.
He does. I felt the one that probably stuck out, that didn't lend herself too much was Hawkgirl. She could have been left out and it would have been kind of the same.
Yes.
You know, she didn't feel developed at all. So do you think that gang of, like you said, it is overstuffed. Do you think that they took away from Superman?
I agree with you. Like, they're all well cast and they're all interesting characters, but at times the film does have a focus problem. For me, it's about storytelling. Like, this should work for people who know these characters, who read DC Comics, and this should work for anybody just walking in the door. And I think the people walking in the door will probably have the same sense of being overwhelmed as I have. I grew up with this character as of you.
Right.
But at the same time, the way the film begins with, you know, with the title cards right out of Star Wars, and we're, you know, in the midst of this battle, plus the Barovian Chumbawamba conflict, whatever that is. There's so much going on. Like, you know, just in terms of a story, I was grateful for any of the moments where the movie just slowed down, let the characters talk to each other, get a sense of it, because a lot of this movie feels like it's on Red Bull.
This movie does move at an incredibly quick pace.
Yeah.
You're 100% on point with that. I believe that it almost feels like the speed in which this film moves at points is somewhat a detriment to the film itself. Let's put it this way. Let me get your take on this. So now, as far as like you were talking about the writers, this felt, like you said, this felt a little all over the place.
Yeah.
In most of it. I thought that James Gunn and whoever else wrote this, I think the one thing that they nailed really well was Luther's intent. Like, that's the guy I knew from the comic books.
Yeah.
He's egomaniacal. He thinks he's a genius because he actually is kind of a genius. But I will say that there is, the only thing I didn't like about Luther was that reading the comics that I have and watching the movies that I have, he never was petty. Hmm. Or it never seemed as it, and I could be wrong. Maybe I haven't read enough comics, but whenever I come across Lex Luthor in the comics, he's never petty. And when I say that, I mean, when we find out that he's holding his ex-girlfriend because he didn't like what she said in a blog.
Right.
I didn't think that was funny. I just thought that was, Lex wouldn't, he would shoo her away as if she would meant nothing.
Yeah.
Right? He wouldn't keep her and to make her suffer in that way. He would just shove her, because she's not worth his time.
I agree. I feel like that's more of a plot device, the right. way that's handled, as opposed to right. something that would be connecting right. to the character. When we remember like Miss Tessmacher or even Parker Posey's role right. in Superman Returns, yeah, it doesn't feel in line with...
Because Gene Hackman couldn't care less about if it was his life or Miss Tessmacher's, he would choose her life
yeah.
to be given away
yes.
or to be killed.
Yeah.
Right. He wouldn't care. So I thought that was a little strange. Maybe it's a 21st century thing, I guess, but I felt that was a little off.
We need that character to stay in the story because that's the decision they've made. But right. it is a lot of like, okay, how are we going to get this information? And forgive us, listeners, we are definitely going to do some spoilers
yes,
here.
Yes,
forgive us. Right, if you haven't seen the film yet, come back after you've seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, you know, you need to have that character in there because of the information she's holding and the relationship with Jimmy Olsen. But beyond that, I agree with you. It's more of a plot convenience than anything.
For sure. Now, do you feel that having all of these things happening all at once, I mean, we literally have Lex Luthor breaking the space-time continuum. We literally have a regional conflict that could affect the world of the DC universe in this movie. You know, we've got tech billionaires and other companies making metahumans or being they're the property of these mega companies, right? We have, you know, General Flag, that's a recast from, that's General Rick Flag, if I'm not mistaken, from the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Right. And they recast them from, I think it was Joel Kinnaman from the other ones. But I believe there's no relation. And by the way, they spelled his name with one G instead of two for like the last one. But that's neither here nor there. That's just me being picky. But you're right. There is a lot going on, and at some points, you're right. There is a tendency to go, can we breathe for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like the only breathing was like when there was that quote unquote interview between Superman and Lois Lane.
Yeah. It's a long scene, but yes. I feel like the movie needs it. It's weird that the movie actually feels kind of stagey in that scene. Cause
right.
Because it is like the movie actually stops and allows these characters to talk. Because the performances are so good and the conversation's right. so good, I was with it. But at the same time, like, oh, this is a nice contrast to how busy and frantic the rest of the movie often feels, I think.
Right. So looking at it from that perspective, do you feel that this is a crowd pleaser for people that watch this film? You think so? From looking at it from that perspective, do you think that this is a? I wrote in a review that I felt that Karate Kid Legends is a movie that you didn't like, but I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
And I felt that it was a Karate Kid for the TikTok generation. Could this be said of this Superman film? Because I mean, quick cuts here and there. The story is just in your face. Does it have that kind of feeling where it's moving at such a quickened pace that the reason they have to do this is so that other people that aren't familiar can keep up or not be bored by this Superman?
There's such a muchness to this film. I'd like to think that when and if we get a sequel, it'll be more streamlined. Because I don't think we need quite this many subplots. You know, there's one thing to have plot A through plot B. There's
right.
like plot, you know, PQRST here.
Right.
I'd like to think that a second film could be just a little more focused. But for me, it's a problem like Star Trek the Motion Picture. Weird, you know, comparison, but Star Trek the Motion Picture, I love that film.
So do I.
There's way too much going on in that movie.
Yes.
Star Trek 2 feels like a television episode as opposed to Star Trek the Motion Picture is the movie expanded, you know, into infinity and beyond. That movie is, it's an epic film. I love it, as you do, but yeah. Let's face it. I mean, that movie overreaches, and I'd say not to its detriment. This film doesn't overreach to its detriment, but at the same time, just in terms of storytelling, I mean, it makes your head spin how many characters suddenly have the focus and then they're gone. I mean, I think there's, I mean, Crypto isn't even in the first half of this movie. And I think Crypto's the reason why a lot of people are seeing this film. But, and at the end of the film, I realized, oh my gosh, like Lois and Clark haven't actually been in the movie together for like 20, 30 minutes. There's just a lot that goes on. Perry White shows up and it's like, I know who Perry White is. But someone who doesn't know this is going to go, who is that guy? Is that Lois Lane's boss?
Right.
So, you know, at times, I just mean like, you know, it's not that the movie has to spell everything out, but it does have a similar problem as, for example, and no one's going to love this comparison, but like with The Phantom Menace, if that film fails in a really big way, just as episode one, a story, it doesn't set up who these people are. You're expected to know them because you have the action figures, because you've seen previous movies. But just as a story, you're going, okay, like, just tell me who these people are in a really direct way.
Interesting comparison. That's fascinating. So, I mean, on your end, is this... Maybe I'm getting to this question too early. Do you think James Gunn is the right person for this new DC universe?
Yes, because his passion is there, and that's what I want.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, it was a Superman for its time. It was, but the Henry Cavill, Zack Snyder Superman, so much angst, so much gloom. To be really obvious about it. But honestly, I also felt so detached from his take on it. It's not that those movies...
You mean Zack Snyder's?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. I felt very emotionally detached from it.
Got it.
Whereas this is a whole other thing.
Right.
And I found... I was really engaged with the passion that he instilled in these characters. The fact that Ma and Pa Kent are in this, mm-hmm. and that's another part of the movie, I'd say that's another thing. The movie really needs that scene as much as it's kind of... You know, it's kind of forced in there,
but that feels, you're correct, but it feels that they don't, and this is going to sound strange, but they don't linger on it long enough. It's that problem where they never feel like they never can take a breath.
Yes.
Like, you know, I think that you're right. That is a huge issue. So he's kind of, James has lined up his new universe. This is his first foray into that, you know, into the cinematic universe. He's done Peacemaker, obviously, on HBO and all that other stuff. How can I put this? For you, does this, a lot of people have compared this Superman to what you'd see in the Bronze and Silver Age of comic books. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, this is nothing like the death of Superman in 1993, which I felt like that's where Zack Snyder's version was going with.
Right.
I'd say this is closer, certainly not only to the Golden Age, but also, and Bronze Age, I'd say it's also closer, really, to Richard Donner's take. But Rob, I felt like Donner's films were a lot cleaner. You know, if this movie is influenced by anything, it's the Avengers.
I think that is one of my issues. I'm glad you brought that up because I think that was one of my biggest issues. It feels as if this is influenced by what Marvel has done almost.
Yes,
and in some respects, it actually harkens to what Zack Snyder has done in the respect of, like, he's an alien and we don't trust him now. We don't know how he feels, except there was a much lighter tone about it in that respect. But he almost follows the same trope as Zach does, because that portion of it is an interesting plot point for a director when he comes to a film, and a writer going, what kind of friction could we give Superman? Right? Like, okay, well, he's an alien. Right, he's not one of us, right? So I definitely see where you're coming from on that. That's very interesting. So I know I'm asking you all the questions. I'll give you my take here in a second.
Please.
When you look at this film, do you think that the ones that are not the younger ones, the ones that aren't in our age bracket, do you think the younger ones are gonna take to this Superman? Do you think that they'll have a connection with him?
It's a great question. I don't know if I could answer that just because I'm pushing 50.
That's
and
what I mean.
Because I know what I want from the character, and right. I feel like he delivered. But there is a key moment in the climax of the movie right. where the character could not be more earnest. It's that speech that he gives to Lex Luthor.
At the end.
I wonder how that's going to play in the long run. Because I know, I mean, this is opening weekend, and I feel like people are rah, rah, rahing. But, you know, over time, people tend to be a little more critical, aka cynical. I do wonder if the character is relatable to a contemporary audience in that way. It's going back to Superman being someone who really does believe in the greater good and really is here for reasons of empathy. That really, you know, that's not something that the prior incarnation of Superman conveyed. So I guess it's not for me to say. I would say I think the character works, and I certainly think the performance works, which is a huge accomplishment in and of itself. Mm. But how young people would see the character, I feel like there was a connective point with, for example, Christian Bale's take on Bruce Wayne. Okay. Because he's this spoiled, privileged millionaire who realizes his life is empty unless he puts on that cowl, embraces his darkness and his demons. I feel like there was a connective thread, even with the way that Ben Affleck played him, for that matter. And certainly the way Robert Pattinson is playing with
yeah,
him. Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
The way Cornswood is doing it, it goes back to, I mean, I feel like it's definitely closer to Chris Reeve and Brandon Routh than it is with Henry Cavill.
Right.
So I don't know. It's on the one hand, I want to avoid your question and say, like, well, it's not really for us to say. But at the same time, I could say, like, it worked for me. I don't know if the 21st century generation is interested in that.
Well, let's put it this way. Would you... For me, the only reason why I'm asking it again is because it's very important in the respect of a character like Superman is he goes... He's generational. He goes beyond. He's going to outlive all of us, right? So, like, would this be the Superman that you'd introduce to, say, your daughter? Would you introduce Superman, this Superman, David Corenswet's, as an introduction to say, hey, listen, let's sit down. We're going to watch this. You get that love for Superman, that character. Would that be... Was that fair, or is that still not fair?
No, that's a great question. And I've already introduced Beatrice, my 9-year-old, to Christopher Reeve, so she knows who that guy is. She's seen that movie.
Got it.
And she's also seen DC's League of Super Pets, which I love. And that was actually a very good movie.
I think
it's terrific. I love that movie
so much. Yeah,
I agree. That, you know, in that case, that was John Krasinski as Superman. Of course, Krypto is voiced by Dwayne Johnson. I think that's a terrific movie. And I would recommend to parents to show that film to their kids and not necessarily the one that we just saw with James Gunn. I feel like it's for one thing.
I oddly agree with
they
you.
They don't drop the F-bomb, but it's highly profane. It's very violent. It's very intense and brutal at times.
Got it.
I like this movie a lot, but I'm not going to show. I'm going to wait to show it to my little
girl. Sure. All right. Well, so overall, from your impressions, where do you land?
I always liked the movie, but I did find, I just found it to be so visually overwhelming to a point where it's like, man, like I'm losing the heart of this because I'm keeping track of so many subplots, so much stuff is going on. There's so many jumps that at times I just felt like I was racing to catch up. And you know what? Maybe it'll play differently on a second viewing. And I will see this film again. Mm. I certainly want to see it again on the big screen. And I like the film. My impression is favorable. But the fact that it's so freaking busy and I just feel like it overcomplicates its story to an unnecessary point. Because on one hand, this movie is about an alien finding and yet another thing, another thread that makes him human. That's important. And I think the Clark and Lois story is important. But man, it's surrounded by so much stuff, so much incident.
But once again, I'm going to say this again.
Yeah.
Before I get to my kind of take on it,
please.
Let's attack some of the criticism before it got released.
Okay.
One of the criticisms was that this Superman is going to be woke, quote unquote. Did you feel that that was the case? Do you feel that there were things in it? Do you feel that way?
No.
I don't either. I think that that was, I think I, that felt like as if somebody wanted to put that out there to get people all riled up.
Yeah.
But that didn't, I got none of that out of this movie.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I think, and by the way, this is a criticism that I'm going to make, not towards the movie, but to people that cover the movie. As a Hawaii film critic, I think it's okay for me to say this. The gentleman who did the article about in Variety, I cannot remember his name for the life of me, but when he interviewed all these people and said that people are having a problem with this because Superman's an immigrant, that none of this is in that movie. Hmm. None of it. At least, did you feel that it was in there?
No, I feel, you know, when it comes to this sort of thing, because Superman has always been about his relationship with the media. He works at the Daily Planet.
Right.
It's always been there. You know, I'm watching him thinking, okay, this is kind of contemporary, dealing with how the media and how the internet can spin the truth or its version of the truth. But the thing is, that's always been a part of this character, back to the beginning, because it's always been about how Superman is a part of the new cycle, because he's literally a part of it himself.
Right.
So, no, I feel like the movie is contemporary enough. There's enough here that people will certainly connect it to contemporary issues. But I don't think the movie is specifically about the world we live in now. And how could it be? They shot it over a year ago.
I agree. And I will say this as well. For all intents and purposes, for those that don't know, Superman is not an immigrant. If he is anything, he is a refugee. His freaking planet exploded. He has no home. So if you wanted to equate it, and I just felt that, once again, this is not a political thing. I'm just saying that I felt like the Variety guy that did the interviews with, like, James Gunn was, like, he was trying to plant something in there that was going to tick people off. And I felt that that was unfair because this movie is not that, like, at all. Like, at all. So, anyway. So, for you, getting back to what's interesting about this film, Superman, where in the pantheon of Superman film, Is this high on the list for you, or where would we put this in the?
After our first watch, I'd say it's on the upper end of it.
Interesting.
My favorites are Superman the Movie and Superman Returns. I like Zack Snyder's frickin' long cut of Justice League. I like that movie a lot, but not
tremendous.
I don't think it's a great Superman movie. I think it's a great Batman movie.
Agreed.
You know?
No, you're right.
And it has nothing to do with Cavill or anything, but I mean, it's not his movie. It just isn't.
Right.
There's a lot going on in that film. But I'd put that on the list. Again, DC League of Super Pets, even though it's a children's film, mm-hmm. I think it's a terrific film. Very underrated. So I'd put this in the top five. Which I guess is high up there. I've always felt, you know, as a kid, Superman 2 was my favorite. It's not anymore.
Interesting.
And it's not because it's a bad film. I my heart goes to the first one in a big way, less so the second one. And I don't like 3. I adored 4 when I was 10. I'm not 10 anymore. So Nuclear Man doesn't really do it for me anymore. How do you feel about that?
So, first of all, you can't discount the cellophane Super S that wraps up... the evil people, the evil folks in Superman 2.
Yes.
Can't discount that. It's tremendous.
Some state-of-the-art effects right there.
State-of-the-art effects right there.
Yeah. I'm
telling you right now. So, let me get to it.
Okay.
As far as what I thought of the brand new Superman. This is going to be a hyperbolic statement.
Please.
I hated it.
Oh.
And it's hyperbolic in the way that when I say that I hated it, I vehemently disliked it. And let me give you the reasons why I didn't like it.
And I'm shocked, by the way. I'm very surprised.
Are you really shocked?
I really am.
Okay.
I didn't think this would be a response at all.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So here's my issue. Number one, you know, I try and go into films without baggage.
Sure.
Right? That's most of the films I try to go into, I do it without baggage. But of course, you know, not necessarily spoil things, but you talk to people that have seen it and they're like, okay, well, I thought this was this, or I thought, and you know, and they didn't spoil anything, but they told me, well, I felt this way about the character, what have you. So let me tell you why I vehemently disliked it. What I thought was, is that David Corenswet, let me get this out of the way first.
Okay.
I know I'm hedging, but what I'm saying is that, number one, David Corenswet has got the Superman look to a T. Tremendous. Okay? Rachel Brosnahan, she is good. I like that she is able to confront Clark, aka Superman, on a level that others cannot.
Yeah.
That's good because that's what Lois does. Okay? What I don't like in this film, and what I think that and there's a myriad of problems, so I'm not going to put them in order. My biggest issue is that Superman, Clark Kent, is incredibly emotional for no reason whatsoever. The fact that he gets offended by what somebody says online and he gets incredibly sensitive, for me, that ain't Superman, right? I'll preface this by saying this. I like the fact that what we're talking about is not things about its politics or what we consider like controversial subjects. What I'm going to talk about is just comic book stuff. And I like that. Even if we vehemently disagree, I like the fact that we just talk about what we didn't like or what we liked because, and it's comic book related. I don't like how they portrayed Superman as an over-emotional child. I was not cool with that because that's not Superman for me. Superman, there's a scene in the film where he wants to know where Krypto is. And he literally barges right into Lex's office, right? And he throws stuff around and he's like, "Where's Krypto?" And I'm thinking to myself, who is that guy? The thing about Superman is always, Superman can be angry, but he's always in control.
Composed.
Always. Superman can be angry. He's angry in the comics. He's angry in the movies. But he's always in control.
Yeah.
It seems as if this guy is never in control. Right?
Yeah.
That's a problem for me. And that ticked me off. I didn't like when he's in that same office, just an example, when Lex is sipping the cup and says, "I don't know what you're talking about." And then he mumbles something into the cup and Superman says, "What did you say?" What? Drove me nuts.
Yeah.
Man with super hearing is asking Lex Luthor, "What did you say? Get out of here." That's number two. I didn't think... That was one of the things that bothered me the most because he's never in control of his emotions. And a man who is a hero, a man who I look to, is one that can control his emotions and be able to be a hero, right? I heard a saying once. What was it? You'd rather have a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war.
Yeah,
is that the is that what that is? Yeah, okay.
I haven't heard that until just now, but yes,
yeah,
that makes sense.
I think I've heard that somewhere. I can't remember where, but
okay.
But do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's never composed, and I feel like he's continually out of control.
Okay.
The second thing that bothered me is that I understand that he has been around for a while in this universe, right? Wherever this universe is, because it's never clear where we are in this DC universe. But what bothered me a lot is, number one, or this is like number two, but no one respects this guy. The way everybody talks to him, there's no respect for this guy at all. That's what bothers me. Like Mr. Terrific, the way he talks, this is Superman. You know what I mean? You're disrespecting him. You had, and listen, I don't like swearing, but spoiler. This is a spoiler. When Supergirl was in it for 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And she comes back to the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah, very late in the film.
Very late in the film. And she is drunk as a skunk.
Right.
And she says to Clark, or to Superman, "Thanks, bitch."
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, by the way, I don't mean to swear. I'm freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? Like, and the way Mr. Terrific talks to him, the way Guy Gardner talks to Superman, that's the one thing I think that is missing from this film. There is no reverence for Superman. Hmm. Superman is to the DC universe as Captain America is to the MCU or to the Marvel universe. He is respected. He is revered. For crying out loud, this guy is like, he's like this stupid, and to be fair to the movie, he's like this stupid country bumpkin. Well, I didn't mean to make you angry. And he's like shrugging his shoulder. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, dude, you're freaking Superman. And here's the other thing. Like, I'm going completely out of order, so please forgive me. I could not stand the way they portrayed Clark's parents, Ma and Pa Kent.
Too folksy?
Not even folksy. I'm going to tell you something. I'll take Kevin Costner over that guy any day of the week, putting up his hand in front of a storm to save his son from exposing himself. Well, any day of the week.
Well, you win that no matter what. I love Pruitt Taylor Vance. I've been a fan of his for years. But no, Kevin Costner wins that every time.
Right, and this is not a dig on Pruitt Taylor Vance.
No, you're talking about a script.
He's a great actor.
You're talking about the choices
that James Gunn made.
Yes.
You expect me to believe that in a world that he grows up in, that Superman grows up in, that he learned all of his life lessons from that guy?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just watched the original film, you know, where Glenn Ford
plays Pa Kent. Glenn Ford is fantastic.
Like Glenn Ford, I mean, no kidding, the kid is a brilliant football player and a student because that was his father.
Correct.
That guy was awesome.
That was his
this
dad.
This dude seems like, you know, he's like, if it's not Clark Kent showing up, it's Ned Beatty and he's on the porch and it's Deliverance, you know?
Right.
Playing the banjo.
I was waiting for him to pull it out and start plucking ding, 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 ding. It's like some hick, like redneck inbred hick. And I'm like, what are we doing here? And this is what I find fascinating. And once again, this is a big spoiler. Okay. So if you haven't seen this film and you're listening, this is a huge spoiler. What they did to the origin of Jor-El is sacrilege.
That was strange. I wasn't sure how to feel about that because I kept waiting for the movie to reverse and be like, it's fake news.
Yeah. Right.
But then they go with the thing where...
Well, it's real. It's real.
It's open to it. It's odd. It was very strange. And it was also weird that there is a Kryptonian language that we're now learning about.
That ironically sounds like Italian.
It's very... Yeah, I mean, did I miss this from the comic books?
I don't know.
I don't remember this.
I don't remember a Kryptonian language, but let me tell you something. When you do that to Jor-El, and now you've ruined both of Superman's father figures, where is he learning anything? No wonder he's so emotional.
If anything, it's making a comment about how human he is. It's going with that angle. That's, you know, this idea that, you know, we cannot be defined by our past, which is a fairly important life lesson. Our parents, whoever they are, whoever they were, they don't define who we are right now. That's fine. But that's also, that has not been a part of this character. That's more of a Batman thing than it is a Superman thing.
Good point.
If anything, I'm watching this movie, and it's always occurred to me that it's from every incarnation I can think of, there's always been to go in this direction for just a moment. I want to hear more about what you think
about it. Sure, go ahead.
But I've always thought about how much this character reminds me of Jesus Christ. I've always thought about that. Superman for me has always been like the American pop culture comic book version of Christ in some ways.
Absolutely.
And I think about, you know, I mean, you know, Bryan Singer's movie, the 2006 film, is very on the nose about it to a blatant degree.
To be fair, so is Zack Snyder's.
Yes. And with this film, I thought, you know, if anything, this is not, you know, like if I were to talk about a film that depicts Jesus in a way that I find especially interesting and thought-provoking, I would say, okay, an easy pick, the Mel Gibson film Passion of the Christ,
sure.
Jim Caviezel's take, versus a movie where I think not really so much, but interesting because it's crazy, would be the Scorsese film, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Okay.
This is as human as we possibly can get. Willem Dafoe is depicting Christ in a way that is very much grounded in humanity, not so much opposed to the theological. I was thinking about that watching this movie. Like, okay, this is, you know, if, you know, someone who is not literally the Son of God, but depicted as a God, both God and a man, I'm seeing more of the man, the human. I'm seeing impetuous. I'm seeing, you know, somebody who's quick to anger. I'm seeing someone who is not like the Superman that we know, frankly.
Right.
It's a very new take on it.
And, you know, I would have been okay with that if there had been, or what at least felt like when looking at that film, like there was growth to his character as a human. But it never feels like he grows, right? And here's the, like, and never once does it feel like, never once does it feel like, in the beginning, where no one is respecting what Superman does, you know, and they're saying, you know, hurry up, do this, do that. You're not doing this right, dude. What are you doing? Like, there's never a point where they look at him and go, this is Superman.
Yeah.
Right? Superman in this movie is always, from beginning to end, is always on the back foot.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Even the thing that he has in common with Crypto is that he's incredibly likable, but rarely in control.
Okay. I hate the dog. So, hated the dog.
You hate the dog?
I hate the dog.
How could you hate the dog?
Hate the dog. So, don't get me started. I hated the dog. I thought he was irritating. I had it up to my forehead with that damn dog.
Are you not a dog person, G?
I like dogs.
Okay.
I don't like CGI dogs, and I hated Crypto. but here's the problem for me.
Okay.
Like if you look at it, if you look at it, like everyone seemed to care less. Like, oh, Superman is in some pocket universe that Lex Luthor came up with. Whatever. What do you mean whatever? Like, you know, Lois Lane's like, we got to get him out of there. And everybody's like, eh. Okay. I'm like sitting there going, well, it doesn't seem to me that there's any reverence for his character. That bothered me a lot. But the other thing, like I was saying, being always on the back, getting back to that point, I went off on a tangent. From the beginning of this movie to the end of this movie, he's always on the back foot. And there's always, he always is helping. He's always being helped out by someone else. Always. Right? If it's not the Justice Gang, it's Crypto. If it ain't Crypto, it's Lois Lane. He doesn't necessarily rescue anybody. He's never the picture of the messianic figure that you were talking about earlier. Not once in this movie, right? I mean, what does he do? What does he do to the kaiju? He helps push it back away from everybody else, right? What does he do when the space-time continuum is breaking? He prevents a building from falling on a lady, and she looks back at him, watching him. Right? That's all he does. It almost feels like he's cleanup crew. Like this is okay. This is my job. Like he never. You know what he rescues in this movie?
A squirrel.
A squirrel.
That squirrel was almost dead, and Superman saved
it. Right.
Superman saved that squirrel's life. He went back to his nuts.
I guess it did. And here's the problem, right? Like. Superman, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Superman's humor is found in him being such a Boy Scout and being so serious.
Yes.
Just as Thor is funny because he is so incredibly serious.
Yes.
Just like in Superman 4, when in Superman 4 at the very beginning of the movie, Lois Lane is stuck on a runaway subway train, and he has to stop the subway train and put his leg on the third wheel to stop the train. What does he do after he rescues everybody on that train, and what does he do after everybody starts clapping? He comes back on up, checks on the conductor, and he comes out of the conductor's chair there, and he looks up at the people, and what does he say? He says, don't worry about it, folks. The subway is the safest form of travel in New York City. That is Superman.
So is the moment where Superman says, I don't do selfies. I thought, okay, that is, he's still square, But you're absolutely right. I mean, the angle for the movie overall, and I wonder if James Gunn did this on purpose, was to make him more relatable to a younger audience.
That's what I was talking about earlier, about the
self-control.
Right.
He does not have that sort of detachment, healthy detachment and focus, where he doesn't always engage. That was one of the interesting things about the other versions of the character, is when he is approaching Lex Luthor, he always, I mean, he knows that he is so incredibly powerful, he doesn't need to be so explosive in his emotions. Whereas this version of it, this is a guy who is pissed constantly.
Consistently, and that drove me nuts. The fact that he constantly needs to be helped by either Mr. Terrific or Crypto or anybody else, he couldn't, the guy who's the fastest guy, he is the fastest guy in the universe as of right now, because there is no Flash in this new universe, right? He couldn't make it in time to the border of Barovia and whatever the name of that other country was, the fictitious country.
Right.
He couldn't make it there to make that kid's dreams come true, because he's calling for Superman. And what does he get instead? He gets the obnoxious Guy Gardner Green Lantern. You mean he couldn't make it in time to be there and then to get back to save Metropolis? Get out of here.
Faster than a speeding bullet.
Exactly, man. And I'm thinking of, and this is not a joke, I am literally sweating in the theater watching that happen. Like, dude, you tell Mr. Terrific, I'll be right back, right? But no, he has to send someone else to do the job that he should have done. And I'm thinking to myself, that ain't Superman. Because that's, you put Superman in a situation where he has, it's almost like he has to make a choice.
Yeah.
Right? That's the situation you put him in. This is happening in this area, but also this is happening at Metropolis. Therefore, Superman has a choice. Or does he? Right? He is Superman. And it's like, oh, I have some friends. Letdown. Absolute letdown. That's what I felt.
I feel like Gunn is trying to raise the stakes here, but I agree with you, because the character that I love is the guy who goes on a date with Lois Lane as Superman, and then seconds later, he shows up as the buzzkill that is Clark Kent.
That is awesome.
And ruins her night.
Correct.
You know, I do love that. And I feel like the movie doesn't play enough of that duplicity. For that matter, the movie needs a lot more Clark Kent. We don't need the hypno-glasses explanation.
That was
it's
dumb.
Always been a fun thing.
That's
the
dumb.
Fact that his performance art is so effective. And that's one thing Christopher Reeve was brilliant about. He's tall, he's awkward, he's physically, he's annoying. Everybody's annoyed with Clark Kent.
When I went back and I watched some of the original Superman films with Christopher Reeve. Christopher Reeves is such an incredible actor that when he is Superman and he's standing tall and he's got his hands on his hips.
Yeah.
And he is Superman. And then he's standing firm as the hero that he is. And then when he throws on the suit, or when he throws on his, like in Superman 4, when he puts on all of his...
lot of references to Superman 4 tonight.
Yes. Yeah, he puts on his farmhand stuff, like the jeans. And
yes.
And like almost like the farmhand shirt, right? It's almost as if he becomes a different person. He literally starts becoming a little bit lankier, and he moves a little more clumsily, and he's like, oh, gee, Mr. Such and Such.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. And that's what's brilliant about Christopher Reeve's performance. I feel like that's not here in this new Superman film, and that's only because we don't see enough Clark Kent. So
yes.
I'm not going to judge him on that.
Sure.
But I will say that is something that is missing. There has to be a dichotomy between those two characters, right? Because Superman, Superman is not the costume. Clark Kent is.
Right.
Right? And
yes.
I mean, and I'm not saying anything that's news, right? This is not news. Superman is the guy. Clark Kent is the disguise.
Yes.
So I feel as if this film completely and utterly disrespects the legacy of Superman. And I feel as if the only good thing in this film for me was just about everything that Lex Luthor did. Just about everything. He was great. everything goes to his ego. He's a maniacal. He's an egomaniac. And he does everything for his own purposes, right? Other than the fact that he's petty and he ended up building this pocket universe, which in my opinion sounds like it. That's like a plot point from the Superman animated television show, right? Like he's got this pocket universe of all of these people. Oh, and by the way, they never get rescued. It just closes up. What happened to all those people? Last time I checked, I would assume that Superman would have saved those folks, right? Just because they repaired the space-time continuum doesn't mean that they're stuck in there, because last time I looked, it looked like they were stuck. So I don't know, honestly. But yeah, that also felt really strange to me. But everything that Lex did was on point. He would want to be king because he's an egomaniac, right? He does everything for his own purposes. That's what felt good. That's what felt like, that's Lex Luthor. By the way, he was also kind of emotional. And Lex, honestly, is never emotional like that. I mean, Nicholas Holt was like, it felt like he was on the verge of crying in some of those scenes. I don't know, you know? I actually enjoyed the scene where he's playing Russian roulette with that guy. That's Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
That's nefarious. That's a guy that I want to see Superman punch right in the face. That's that guy. And there are certain points in this film where Lex Luthor is done right, but Superman never feels like a hero. At the end, when he's standing in front of the portal, and he just bumps him off. Like, this is it? This is it. This is all we're getting? Like, you know, there's never any recognition for Superman, right? At the end, right? Everybody just all of a sudden believes what they see on television, like the media, and then they hate him, right? But there's never any redemption for him at the end. It's like, oh, Lex Luthor's a liar. Well, it looks like Superman's okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that bothered me. Like, you know, I almost equate that to one of the greatest scenes in any comic book film ever. And that's when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2 saves the L train.
Yeah. Yes.
Saves the L train, and he saves it at the expense of his identity.
Right. Yeah.
And everybody on that train kept their word and would not tell anybody.
Yeah.
That is awesome, right? I get emotional thinking about it because those are stakes. Those are stakes.
Sure.
You know? And I never felt like there were any stakes here. Hmm. Never felt like there's any real stakes for not necessarily the world, but or Metropolis, but there are never any stakes for Superman. Like and once again, this is another problem. Like, when he is so emotional, he flies into Lois's apartment and he sits down on the couch with his Superman suit, and he's drinking this tea or this coffee or whatever. And outside the window, the Justice Gang are fighting this beast that is in over Metropolis. It's right outside his window. The Superman that I know would not put himself first. The Superman that I grew up with would put Metropolis first, and he would go out there and take care of that problem. And he doesn't. He sits there and wallows in his own self-pity and is looking for some kind of pleasure, he's looking for some comfort from Lois. And I'm like, and my head at that point was pounding. And I'm like, this is not Superman, man. So, and once again, maybe this Superman is not for me. Maybe, I don't know if I'm being unfair. I don't know. But for me, the first impression is that there are things this movie gets right. You are correct that this movie is overstuffed. It feels like I'm walking into the middle of a movie.
That's fair.
At the beginning.
I felt that way too.
I feel as if I'm walking into the middle of a movie. This feels, I don't know if you ever watched the series before, this feels like an episode of Batman Brave and the Bold. Which is a great cartoon, by the way. If you don't know about it, look it up. It's great. You guys will love it. But it feels a lot like that. It is out of this world. It is insane. it doesn't make a lot of sense, and all these characters show up. We have Lois Lane flying Mr. Terrific's spaceship. Like, what the? That's something that would happen in The Brave and the Bold. Like, that's not her gig. You know what I mean? You know, that's not, she wouldn't, in my opinion, she wouldn't do that, right? She would be like, I can do this myself or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I feel that James Gunn missed the mark with this movie. And it's not the fault of Rachel Brosnahan. It's not the fault of David Corenswet. It is not the fault of Nicholas Holt. They put in performances that were written for them. And they did everything that they were supposed to. And for that, I give them a lot of credit, because I thought the plot sucked, more or less. I thought that the character work was terrible. Mm. I thought that the Justice Gang was absolutely asinine. And the only shining person in that Justice Gang was Mr. Terrific, in my opinion. I love Nathan Fillion. I love Firefly. I love his work as an actor. He was good in this, but he was an irritant.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And maybe that's purposeful because Guy Gardner is an irritant. So to be fair to that, I just thought it was too much. So maybe, you know, once again, maybe I'm overjudging. But this was not the Superman that I was looking for. And by the way, you know, you were talking about that scene where he gives the speech about being human.
Yes.
You know what would have been good right there? What would have been great? He said, yeah, I am human. You know what I fight for? I fight for truth. I fight for justice. I fight for the American way. But we can't say that now. That would have been powerful for him. That's what I, as a human, that's what I fight for. Even if everyone else is wrong, I fight for that. And Superman couldn't even say that. And I'm like, man, like, that was the perfect opportunity for him to just say, hey, listen, even if you wanted to do it like the way Superman Returns does it, like truth, justice, and all that other stuff, right? Whatever. If you don't want to say the American way because politically you have some issue with it, fine, whatever. But that would have been the perfect segue for him to say that, because he establishes himself as that character, right? Because that's who he always was. So I think, I'm going to say something. This movie does not hold a candle to Superman 3. This movie doesn't hold a candle to Superman 4, Superman Returns, which I think is incredibly underrated. Bryan Singer, I think, got that character, and Brandon Routh is underappreciated as Superman, in my opinion. And I will not linger on this too long, but you know that he's Superman in Superman Returns when he saves the airplane and he puts it in to the stadium to save those people. You know that he's Superman, and that's all you needed, and that his character is established. So, and I never got that here. And he never feels like a hero, ever, to me. He never feels like a hero, not once. And he is always disrespected. He is never revered for anything. And he is never thanked for anything. Right? Here's a guy who is going around supposedly doing all these things. And why would you thank this guy? Because he's not really doing anything. He didn't even save a conflict between two countries. He couldn't save that conflict. Right? He had to send his minions over there to help. Or not even his minions, some corporate douchebags. Minions of the Justice Gang, but he couldn't do it himself. And I feel it was disrespect, not just to Superman, but I also feel it was disrespectful to David Corenswet's version of Superman. Like, he never got the chance to do that. And so ultimately, I was incredibly disappointed. I'm not as angry as I was before. But in the moment, I was very angry because it was so chaotic and it didn't take any breath that I couldn't find a way to get in the movie, right? If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
I couldn't get in. It never establishes that. So ultimately, I feel as if he completely missed the mark. And I feel that James Gunn's work on the Guardians of the Galaxy films was far better. Everything, 1, 2, and 3 were much better than this film, because he got every, he got, it's as if there's two different filmmakers that made that those movies and this one. He got the tone in that movie. He even got the music right. He got the comedy correct. And he even, like I said, he even got the pathos right in all of those movies, I believe. This one, I think the music sucked. And I mean, like, the soundtrack. You know how good the soundtrack was in those, right? I think the soundtrack itself in this film, was Superman film, was terrible. I didn't think that. I thought the score was okay. You know, putting hints of John Williams in there was great. But once again, everybody seems to try and get away from it. Just lean into it. It's John Williams. You aren't going to perfect that already, right? I don't know if it costs any extra to just use the theme, but if you're going to do it, just do it. That the John Williams Superman theme is who everyone associates Superman with, right? Even in the comics, when you read a comic book, that's the first tune that is in your head when you're reading and you're thumbing through a comic. You know, what's funny is that I was listening to a podcaster about this, and he said something interesting. He said something very interesting about Superman. He said that this movie, and now I understand what he meant, this isn't just a comic book movie, which it is. This is like you're standing at the magazine rack and you're flipping through the comic, but not necessarily reading it. And I thought that was a great analogy, because I know what he's talking about now. That makes perfect sense. It feels like all this stuff's going on, and it's like, oh, there's a big kaiju monster here. Oh, Mr. Terrific shows up. Oh, this is there's Lex Luthor is going to take over this piece of land. And I'm flipping through the comic before I have to go, because, you know, the folks are leaving. That's what it felt like. Like you're flipping through a comic, but you don't get the whole story because you didn't pick it up and buy it. And I thought to myself, now I understand what that meant. And that is a perfect, absolutely perfect analogy. So, yeah, for me, I hate to be the downer, but I may have to watch it again, but I did not like it. I was so disappointed, and I feel good that we're going to be able to talk about this in some respect. So anyway, listen, we're going to get kicked out. Apparently, we're going to get kicked out, right? Yeah, we're going to go to the movies. So we're going to get, yeah. So we're going to get kicked out of here in a minute. So let's wrap this up. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to get kicked out of here in a minute. Our security. See, this is what happens when you're in the middle of the mall and the security is telling you to get out of here. So anyway, let's wrap this thing up.
Star rating. What do you give it?
Star rating. One and a half.
1.5. Wow. I'm 2.
Maybe 2.
2.5 for me.
But 1.5. I am incredibly bummed. And I wish it was better. I may have to watch it again. And I will say that it is no fault of the actors. It was the writing, and it was the way this movie was also edited. So I'm not looking forward to seeing it, but when I do see it again, it'll probably be at home. So anyway, Barry, we're going to do this again.
Yes.
We're going to do this in 2 weeks. We're going to be watching Fantastic Four First Steps. I am not looking forward to it at all. But this is the last movie of the summer, because August is a dead month, surprisingly. So I guess we'll talk about Fantastic Four next week or 2 weeks from Saturday, 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
And we'll find out if this can save the summer, because I don't think everything is pretty much underperformed. And maybe Superman will push up the box office. So we'll see. So.
Well, not with reviews like yours. So.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have anything to say about it.
Yeah. Anyway, people, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. We've been here for about an hour. Enjoy the movie, and enjoy it or not, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave comments. I probably put this up on social media somewhere. I'm sure Superman of this universe is going to be completely bothered by this review. So we'll see. But anyway, until next time, peace out, much love, and always go to the movies, whether they're good or not. Okay? We need you there. Until next time, aloha.